Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim. And the topic of our podcast today is Robert Berdella, the Kansas City Butcher, a famed serial killer that tormented the Kansas City area back in the 80s. We're going to talk about his dastardly deeds. But before we do that, let me introduce our panel. I'm pleased, as always, to welcome to our show a lady of great distinction, known for her generosity and caring heart, the very lovely and talented, pill-popping, penis-loving, Satan's Dirty Little Secret, Brandy. How are you, Brandy?
I'm irritated, Tim.
Why are you irritated?
I'll tell you why I'm irritated. Because
it's Monday. How can you be irritated already?
Are you kidding me right now? So I had to take my new car that I bought for my husband that I drive.
Yes.
I had to take that into the shop because there was a nick in the windshield and, you know, whatever else. So I had to take him to the shop.
That sound like a first world problem
to
you?
It does sound like a privileged problem to me.
Are you going to fucking let me finish this story?
Please
so
continue.
I'm just saying.
I had to take... You haven't been introduced, so shut your cake hole.
No, I get to
you
talk.
You have not
you
been
know,
introduced.
That rule is not in effect anymore.
It's always in effect.
The chair recognized the colonel. Okay, go ahead.
So, but I had to take the car into the thing to the shop,
yeah.
And they gave me a loaner.
Okay.
And when they brought it up...
They gave you a boner.
Yes. And when they brought
you
it up...
You got to be careful about loaners, because yeah. They always end up being serial killers.
They
know?
Do. They brought me this thing... And I'm looking at it. Now, keep in mind, I have my 5-year-old child with me.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me a 2-door fucking Civic. Like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? A, with a 2-door car.
Very conservative car.
It's a 2-door goddamn car.
They're worried about your gas mileage.
Bullshit. So I got to shove Noah in the back seat and get him situated. Then I get in this car. My head hits the top. I look like Shaq driving a Fiat through there. I actually opened the sunroof, and part of my head was out the sunroof. It's bullshit. I hate this fucking car.
Did you have to pick it up and start running like...
I felt like it. I felt like it. It was ridiculous.
I'm sorry. How long will your car be in the shop?
I'm hoping to get it back later today. But, you know, it could be tomorrow.
I'm sorry to hear that, Brandy.
Well, no, I don't think you are, bus rider. I don't think you understand my plight at all.
Let me introduce the very talented, a man of God, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawkwaters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
When did he stop being the face of ED and Bloody Stool?
Well,
that's what I want to know.
I'm wonderful, Timmy. Thank you.
Well, you are, he is still the face of Bloody Stool. We're just not allowed to mention it because he had some relative that had Bloody Stool.
He is Bloody Stool.
My stepfather's ill. Would you leave me alone for fuck's sake?
He probably just got hemorrhoids.
they did the whole test.
All right. All right.
So, anyway, I'm doing good, Timmy. My weekend was full of, you know, joy and pleasure and... The whole thing, you know, the colonel lives a charmed life, as our readers can probably, or listeners can probably tell.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I don't like, though? Here's my complaint. I got a pet peeve about this shit, and it mostly involves you women.
No, please tell me more.
Okay, you ask a man, and I don't know if this ever happens to you, but basically they kidnap you.
My wife says to me, can you run to Kroger with me? And I say, yeah, I'll run to Kroger with you. And then on the way, she decides, well, she doesn't decide because she had the damn bag in the car. Oh, I have to return these to Kohl's.
So she really has an agenda.
Yes. And it was no sales tax weekend.
Okay.
So it was hard to find a parking spot in Kohl's. So she did not just return whatever it was she was returning. She left me in the return line to return it. She went and looked at outfits. And this is why our vacations cost so much money, because it's not the hotels and whatever. She buys a whole goddamn wardrobe every time we go on vacation. It's like, why didn't you buy why ain't you wearing the stuff you had the last time?
We're not going on vacation, Carl.
We're going to Wisconsin.
When are you going?
Little cabin next week.
Okay.
No cabin on the lake, Timmy.
Invite all our listeners.
Oh, you're on vacation next week?
Mm-hmm.
Well, shit.
We have to podcast without you.
Well, that'll be a bummer.
I'm sorry you had a bad weekend, Colonel. Do you have any shout-outs?
I got a few.
Because you didn't give a shit about your weekend, clearly.
It doesn't. Let's just wrap this up. You know, how was your weekend, Timmy?
It was fine. I didn't do anything.
Much as last weekend.
And the weekend.
And the weekend coming up.
I get the feeling, without you, we can't really do it, because even though this is just a USB microphone and you plug it in, I'm not sure me and the devil could figure it out.
No.
Because we are the talent and not the technical part of this show.
Clearly. Well, we'll find out when you're on vacation next week. Brandy and I will do podcasts on our own. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
We might not even need him.
I know. Right?
Well,
I'll
tell you who would be disappointed. Let me start with my shout outs.
All right.
Is Miss Tiffany Bell, who posted a picture on our page of the Colonel's groupies.
Yeah, you've all seen it. That's disturbing. Lovely ladies, but it's disturbing.
Very lovely.
Group of groupies.
Who else we got here? We got always, as always, little Sarah Spaghetti. She's a twisted little girl, but funny. Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
Hello to her. Trish Hillard. Hello. Kim Taylor, of course. Tasha. And I'm sure she's watching the Olympics. I got a very short list because I'm doing this off the top of my head. So anybody I missed, you guys jump in here. Lady Beverly, of course, is watching the Olympics faithfully.
Mm-hmm. Room for the UK.
Room for the UK. And our one and only, Timmy. Our one and only, Dottie Scott.
Yes. Hi, Mom. Brandy, do you have any shout-outs?
Oh, well, I forgot two of them. I forgot my accountant, Shannon, and Jennifer Burdick.
Okay, you didn't say Nicola.
Nicola Reed, yeah, my attorney.
All right. Brandy?
Hello, Nicola. You know, I get the sense, Nicola put on there, on our page, she was talking about marriage.
The History Reads, the podcast group, if any of you would like to join there or not, then you can kind of have an understanding of what we're talking about.
Yeah, she's been with the same person for 11 years, but hasn't gotten married. And don't you get the sense that she's just probably kind of mean?
No, I get the sense that she's got shit figured out and we should have done that.
Well, that's true, too.
I also get the sense of it doesn't matter if I have shout-outs, because Dipshit Magoo over here is going to go ahead and just interrupt me all the time. So I have two.
Right.
I would like to give a shout-out to Celine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know Lady Beverly's not been feeling well, so I do want to wish her. And Tiffany.
Okay.
We're thinking about you this week.
Oh, that's correct. Tiffany is...
We're thinking about you this week. And then, actually, Celine got a promotion.
Congratulations.
At her work.
Congratulations, Celine.
Yes.
That's great.
So those are mine. I'm not going to take all day with it, because fucktard's going to keep on yapping.
Okay, I just have a couple quick ones. First of all, those who sponsor our show on Patreon, Alicia and Chip, thank you very much. Cindy Lou. And Bridget, thank you all for sponsoring us. If you would like to sponsor us, you can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/historydweebs. We appreciate it very much. And I like to give two shout-outs. Actually, three. Cameron Stevens, who is a new listener. Thank you for listening, Cameron. And Jeff Chestnut, who lives in the Dominica, he is a physician down there. He teaches at a medical school down there.
You'd think he'd know better than to listen to us.
No, he has a he posted a view of his view from his house and down there in Dominica. It's just beautiful. So thank you, Jeff, for all the work you do with the folks down there.
Because he has a skill set. That's why he gets the good shit. We have no skills. You guys realize that, right? Yeah. We have no skills.
I've got some mad skills. You don't have some certain areas.
You don't have any skills that would enable
skills
us to
that make.
Are they multiplying?
I got skills. I got skills that make life a nightmare for people like you.
No.
Okay. If you two are done bickering, we can move on to our.
You know, topic. I had a person to meet.
We're going to just keep on.
A friend of mine
going.
Listens to the podcast.
I doubt it.
He's also a physician, but he's a psychiatrist.
You have no friends.
And he noticed.
Diagnosed you?
Right.
Well, actually, and he said it's irresponsible to make a diagnosis from, you know, not meeting someone. Mm. But from all he could tell, the devil's harboring.
Borderline personality.
She might be a borderline personality disorder.
I think she's across the border.
And she's harboring great, great anger. Great amounts of anger.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. He has a lot of insight.
Right. So he's a great shrink. Yeah. Never mind the fact that, let's pretend that all that's true for just a second. What do you think that you need not do if I'm harboring all this anger and could Hulk out at any time?
Well, but here's the thing, Timmy. You see her walking around here all the time. She's angry whether I'm around or not.
Well, that's true.
I get angry when I have to stuff my fat ass in a two-door Civic. That angers me. I don't like it. I know it's a first-world problem, but God damn it.
Let's get on to the podcast. And I want to thank Tommy Boomershine, because Tommy has been requesting this topic for a while now. So Tommy is from Kansas City, and also Charlie's from Kansas City. So we have listeners out there in KC. So this is about the Kansas City butcher, Robert Bedella. So we're going to, he's a serial killer. We're going to talk about his dastardly deeds, and let's jump into it now. So Robert Andrew Bedella was born on January 31st, 1941, in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. And you know, Colonel, being born on January 31st up there near Cleveland, that's got to be cold. He came into the world, and it must have been cold.
Well, if he was down by the river would have been on fire.
Yeah, it's a lake.
So he could have kept warm. Yeah, the lake. No, the river. The
Cuyahoga River.
Cuyahoga River caught on fire.
Yeah, that's where they have the, that's where they had the, torso murders, you know.
Nothing good happens up there.
Yeah.
Nothing.
So he spent his first 18 years of his life in the Cleveland area. He was raised Catholic, though he stopped attending church at a very when he was a teenager. His father worked as a die setter at the Ford Motor Company, and his mother was a homemaker. His father drank heavily and would often beat Robert with a leather strap.
Did morale improve?
I don't think so.
Well,
he ended up being a serial killer, so that probably wasn't a parenting.
Not great
tool.
Parenting.
No, exactly.
Although there is room for a leather strap in parenting, but.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Robert was severely nearsighted when he was young and had to start wearing thick glasses by the age of 5. When he was 7 years old, he got a younger brother named Daniel, and Daniel soon became his father's favorite. Robert did very well in school, though his teachers found him to be difficult to teach, and he was bullied by other students.
Well, you got those thick glasses. Every kid with the thick glasses.
It's
just part of life.
Yeah.
It's a circle of life, Timmy.
Yeah. It was just, you're in a certain part in the pecking order if you're walking around with those big black glasses that are black frame. And
you know he probably had tape around them somewhere.
And around his nose.
Or at least on the hinges or something.
Yeah. So
did you wear glasses as a kid, Devil?
No, I wear glasses now.
I had to wear a patch when I was, 6. I had a lazy eye. Why are you making fun of me?
Did you have a parrot?
I did not have a parrot.
What about a peg leg?
Yeah, I remember waking
or
up.
Or a hook.
No, you know what I mean? I took a nap and I woke up and I couldn't see. No, I saw double of everything. And I told my grandmother, there's two of you. And then, you know, my mom like freaked out that I had a brain tumor or something. Mm-hmm. So they rushed me to the doctor and he said, no, he's got lazy eyes. I was compensating this. I had to put a patch on it for about.
Daniel, my son, had a lazy eye. And he still today can control it, so his eye will go all over.
Oh, see, I don't have it. Mine is
that's nasty,
okay, but it was weird when I was six. I was like a little pirate. But anyway, so when Robert was 16, his life took a dive for the worst. First, his dad died of a heart attack.
That shouldn't have bothered him.
At 39.
Turned for the best, like winning the lottery when somebody's beating you with a damn strap.
I guess he was still close to his father. His mother remarried shortly thereafter, and Robert became very resentful of that and had a lot of anger issues as a result. 1965, Robert was sexually assaulted by a male co-worker at the restaurant where he worked. He was a loner, much like Brandy's car.
Hold on. You just kind of glossed over that a little bit.
So
he's working the fryer or what?
All I know is he was working in a restaurant and he got abused by a coworker.
In a hotel bar?
I don't know.
He wasn't working as a waitress.
Yeah.
He was working in
a restaurant.
Yeah. And he got, I don't know if he was over the fryer or I don't know what the deal
was. No, you got to get that shit back in dry stock.
Yeah.
Cooler's too cold. Freezer's too cold.
That's what I'm wondering.
You go hunt back in dry stock.
Oh, they had him bent over boxes of macaroni and stuff. The poor kid.
I mean, that's what makes the most sense to me.
So he became a loner, like Brandy's car.
Timmy appreciated that. No. Like Brandy's car.
He saw a 1965 adaptation of Robert Foll's book, The Collector, which was about a man who abducted young woman and held her captive.
Young woman?
Yeah, a young woman, and held her captive.
Or women, either one.
I think it was one. He held her captive in his basement. This movie made an impression on young Robert, and he would...
Did he see the one with Angelina Jolie?
I don't know who was starred in it. It's 1965. I don't know. In 1967,
Queen Latifah was in it too.
At the age of 18, he enrolled at the Kansas City Art Institute, so that gets him out to Kansas City, hoping to become a professor, but instead he decided to pursue a career as a chef. So he's out in the Kansas City area now, late 60s.
So he went back, he got back on that horse then.
Well, you know,
restaurant work didn't scare him off.
No, once he got out of Kansas City, he kind of his career took off. He during the time he was in art school, he started to engage in animal torture at least three times. He was known to torture a duck and a chicken.
Wow! So
and he would experiment with sedatives and tranquilizers on a dog.
So I experiment with those on myself.
Yeah.
With a dog? Or you mean yourself?
Did I just say myself?
Oh, okay. He also began a criminal career abusing alcohol and selling drugs.
Let's face it, the chicken probably deserved it.
But the duck was asking for it.
Oh, clearly.
You know the duck was asking. Wow. Walking around wiggling that ass.
Giving him a little too much, little too much beak.
Yeah.
At the age of 19, he was arrested for possession of LSD and marijuana. This was the late 60s, so, you know, that's...
Everybody was, so, yeah.
But he was released after only 5 days due to lack of evidence. What? They didn't have LSD or marijuana? To hell.
What did he get arrested for then?
Exactly. In 1969, he dropped out of school and became a successful chef part-time, or full-time. A member of the local chef's association helped set him up with a training program for aspiring chefs. So he became a chef. He also volunteered to become a member of his local crime prevention association, Neighborhood Watch. You always got to watch out for those guys. So those are the guys who end up becoming the criminals, those guys that volunteer for the crime watch.
No, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had a friend, not a friend, George, a kid in the neighborhood who always would, every time there was a fire, I mean, he would chase down the fire trucks on his bike. And yeah, of course, later on, he was arrested for arson.
Starting the fire.
Yeah. Apparently, he got tired of waiting and decided to take matters into his own hands. So anyway, in 1981, at the age of 32, Berdella quit working as a cook and instead opened up his own store, and it was called Bob's Bazaar Bazaar. We sold all kind of odd items and antiques, such as animal skulls, books on the occult, a lot of, you know, a lot of jewelry, a lot of weird stuff, a lot of like, you know, occult stuff, Satanism, stuff like that. He had all kind of stuff, crap, in this Bob's Bazaar, and he just had.
It was an eclectic mix.
Yeah, it was. Now, having become open to being gay, I forgot to mention he's gay.
He just glossed over that one too.
He had a relationship with a Vietnam veteran, but it didn't last. Instead, he started hanging out with male prostitutes.
Yes,
like Fred Garvin,
male prostitute.
He must have held out with Fred. Befriending women to help them get out of prostitution, which, you know, seems counterproductive if you're hanging out with prostitutes.
If you're hanging, yeah.
You know. He would become a friend with many of them and often allowing them to live with him in exchange for helping around the house. He tried to get many of them to quit in prostitution and get their lives in order. So he's
a giver.
Why he is would a you giver. He's a caring person. He's got this store where he has all kind of great stuff in it that he's selling.
Well, you know what? I got a bunch of I got a little shop, you know, on eBay, the Colonel's collection.
I didn't know that. Oh, yeah. You have a Colonel's Bazaar?
No, it's called the Colonel's Collection. It's an eBay store.
Is it my turn yet?
Yes, please, Brandon, continue.
Nobody cares about your stupid store.
What do you have in your store, Carl?
What the fuck? Nobody cares about your stupid
store. You've got a store where you sell eclectic, you have like a...
Well, it's fine art and collectibles.
It's none of those things.
What are some of the things that you have?
Well, I liked movie stuff.
Are you going to spit it out? Or you just...
And
what are you
I
doing?
Got a bottle of Scope. A half a bottle of Scope. You remember the movie Deep Throat?
Yeah, Linda Lovelace.
Linda Lovelace's half a bottle of Scope.
I've got it on DVD.
Because apparently she was doing a lot of gargling in that movie.
Oh,
she didn't use the whole bottle, but I got what was left over.
I see. Okay, Brandy, can you please continue?
You're fucking nasty.
Okay, well.
In the summer of 1984.
You know what? I've had bits of... Hold on for 1 second.
Why do I have to hold on?
Now, this is something that most of our people don't know.
Well, I'm sure you're going to tell us, Cliff.
That in the show Lassie, the women dogs, as women tend to be, were too temperamental and hard to train.
Are you seriously going on?
So they were moody.
I have actual
basically
news.
Moody and stupid.
What does this have to do with Robert?
Really?
Cordella?
It's in the Colonel's collection.
I will bruise you.
What is it in the Colonel's?
Well, Lassie did not do his own stunts.
Your corpse.
So Lassie had a stunt dog.
Okay.
Well, of course, they had to neuter a stunt dog, so, you know, you could pass it off as Lassie.
You.
I got in a jar, mason jar, the balls of Lassie's stunt dog.
Do they sit on the shelf next to yours?
Lassie's balls.
I'm just saying. Okay. Anybody want to look
Lassie's
on eBay
balls.
For the Colonel's Corner? You can find my eBay
store.
So
if it was Lassie balls, it would really be worth something.
I know, but it's not Lassie balls. It's Lassie's stunt devil balls.
How much are they going for, Colonel?
The last... Now, I've got them right now listed at $166.
Okay.
And this last... The final bid he got was
$2. Please per ball. $1 per ball.
Right. Well, you know, it's only fair.
Continue, Brandy.
All right. In the summer of 84...
You know something that you could use...
I know many things I could use.
Did you ever see the movie Cool Hand Luke?
I did. Yeah, I liked it.
No.
You didn't see the movie Cool. Do you know who Paul Newman
is? She never saw Casablanca.
Of course I know who Paul Newman is.
Handsome guy.
Uh-huh.
Right? Now, how much would you give for a bar of soap with one of his pubic hairs stuck to it?
You have that in your collection?
I do.
Was that pre-menopause or post-menopause?
It's not a smoky one.
It's not a gray.
It's not black pepper.
It's
black.
I would give a whole 50 cents.
No, 50 cent. No. 50 people, cent. People.
Continue, Brandy.
Rudy, sorry, Brandy.
You're not sorry. You're a cocksucker. In the summer of 1984, Berdella began hanging out with 19-year-old...
Sounds judgmental to me.
Jerry Howell, one of the young prostitutes. Berdella had met Howell's Bob's Bazaar.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the hell. Berdella had met Howell at Bob's Bazaar. The booth was known for its unusual taste. He sold human that seems to be something that you just said that's on my script.
What's that?
The booth was known for its unusual taste. He sold human skulls, occult books, jewelry, and many other novelty items.
You got novelty items.
I bet he didn't have Stevie Wonder's driver's license.
Is it expired? Is it current?
No, it's expired.
You have that in your collection?
I do.
Okay.
I'd like to see some of his tickets. Jerry Howell was the son of another flea market patron. Okay. So flea market people are like carnies. They just all hang out together doing shit and raising hell.
Well, that's an association.
And collecting cool stuff.
Yeah. Right. So
now did he have you said he had toenail clippings?
Nope, I didn't say that.
Nowhere did I say that.
That's not in the script.
I have not.
Oh, I said I got Mother Teresa's toenail clippings.
Mother Teresa.
Did I tell you that?
No.
I got Mother Teresa's set of toenail clippings from Mother Teresa.
I don't like that. I like Mother Teresa just like the next guy. But I don't think they should fast track her and make her a saint.
I'm not Catholic, so I don't care.
But let them go through the process. Don't fast track. You know what I mean?
Well, it doesn't seem fair to the other Catholics, does it?
Or the other saints.
You know, I'm wondering
if everything moves faster. The world's smaller now.
Wait a minute. First of all, there's two things here that I need to know. First of all, in all seriousness, do you think that the priest that was beheaded, do you think they'll do that for him?
No, you have to.
Because he did some good shit.
Well, you have to perform miracles to be a saint.
What miracle did she perform?
I don't know. I'm calling bullshit on it, too.
She had two really good card tricks.
She could get your nose like no other.
Pick a card, any card.
The other question is, are they pre- or post-mortem toenail clippings?
This was in the washing of the feet.
Mother Teresa was not prone to pedicures.
As in the washing of the feet. Yeah, but you can't walk around in those sandals all the time. They get big and clawy and
shit. That's what I'm saying. I think she wasn't big on going to the Koreans and getting her pigs.
No, so to be the simple people, and I picked them up from some guy in India. While we're on the Catholic track, I'll tell you another interesting thing I got.
Let's insult some more people.
And you can have it.
I didn't insult them.
I got this one. No, now, this one's up for sale now, and this one's getting a lot of offers.
Uh-huh.
I got some belly button lint from Pope John Paul.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Holy lint.
Holy lint.
PJP.
Mm-hmm. The lint of the Father, Timmy. Lint of the Father.
Brandy.
I would like it better from this Pope. This Pope's kind of awesome.
Yeah, but I don't know if he wears T-shirts.
PJP's be all right, though, I guess. Yeah, but he's still got to wear that white hat and all that kind of stuff. I bet he does wear T-shirts.
Please continue, Brandy.
Let's see. Okay, so Jerry Howell, disappeared. On July 5th, right after the day after 4th of July.
It is, right after. They probably went to the fireworks the day before.
Probably did. It was in 84.
Mm-hmm. Probably had a hot dog eating contest.
They might have. I wonder if they went to the... Anyway. So no one had information on his whereabouts, but it was known that he had been associating with Berdella, and some family members believed that Bob had something to do with the disappearance. Hal was drugged with tranquilizers, bound, gagged, and sodomized for weeks.
Oh, my God.
And what?
Sodomized for weeks.
Yeah, it's just not a day or two, Colonel. This is a week or weeks, plural, of being sodomized.
Now, see, if he would have gone to the Colonel's store, they could have bought the very first model or the very first sex doll with a working mouth.
I don't know. I don't think that he wanted that.
I don't know, but sodomizing a poor bastard for weeks, now that'll cause some...
Well...
That'll cause a hemorrhoidal flare-up.
Could possibly do that.
Yeah.
And some bloody stool.
He probably couldn't hold his mud. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. Mm-hmm. So he's sodomizing... Well, first of all, never mind the fact that...
So he's got this guy kidnapped.
It's really gross. Mm-hmm. He's got to be ripe. If you're sodomizing him for weeks...
Yeah.
Well, maybe he's hosing him down.
I don't know. Poor guy.
Missed his skin soft.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but then it gets better. So eventually, Berdella tires of his smell or whatever it is. So he hangs him upside down in his basement and puts little slits in his body to drain the blood out.
Oh, well, how else would you do it?
Well, clearly.
Maybe the guy had a cold and he was trying to bleed him to see if that would help.
Yeah, leeches.
Yeah, leeches, not little bitty slits. Right. Anyway, this led
to... this guy was...
Yeah, this guy was tortured. It was nasty.
Yeah.
So this led to Hal's death by asphyxiation. So Berdella did what any sane person would do in that situation. Dismembered him and took him out with the trash. So garbage men then unwittingly took the trash to the dump, and Hal was never seen again.
Those garbage men are not very fucking observant.
No, they're not. I go through. Well, go ahead, Devil. I occasionally like to look through other.
Because you find things.
You do find things. I found. You know what I found in somebody's garbage one time. And she was right before... I knew she was going to be famous. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to look through a garbage, see what I see.
You spit remember it out.
Susan Boyle's the one that did...
Oh, yeah. Americans or England's Britain's Got Talent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got a strip of her bikini wax today.
Nice. I wonder if she does her own.
She does. Nice. Well, back then she did because she wasn't a star.
She probably has someone to do it for her now.
And I also... Now, this was a long time ago, but you remember Mama Cass died, allegedly.
Mama's
and the Papas.
Yeah.
I got the half of the ham sandwich she didn't finish.
She choked to death on the ham
makes
sandwich.
Makes you a horrible person. So, during this time and subsequent crimes, he took pictures and he kept a detailed log because that's what you do when you're never going to get caught.
Well, I mean, you think... about it. He has his store where he's got all kind of different shit in it. So he has to keep an inventory, much like the colonel does with his mm-hmm. things. So he kept an inventory of, it's kind of OCD that he kept records.
Actually, I got my inventory right here.
No. All right, so...
Columbo's Glass Eye. Remember him?
I do.
Peter Falk. I got his glass eye.
Oh, you should have got his raincoat. That would be cool.
No, the eye is much cooler. You can play with it. Then here's a more recent one that I drug out of the garbage. Caitlyn Jenner. Everybody knows Caitlyn Jenner. Well, you can't walk around in those slinky dresses that you got, you know, when you got a full package on.
Uh-huh.
So you tuck it back. But it don't just stay there. You got to use a special kind of tape, Timmy.
An adhesive.
I got an 8-inch strip of Caitlyn Jenner's dick tape.
It's amazing, girl. I'm sure that's...
I'm going to go ahead and dick tape that we need to get this done.
Please continue, Brandy. All
right.
Ridiculous.
It really is.
Dolly Parton's Training Bra. I got that.
So, Berdella laid low for a while and didn't find another victim for almost a year. But 95 was a big year for him. And he would abduct, rape, torture, and kill 3 people.
Wow, it was a big year.
Tres Personas.
Oh, yeah. That's Spanish.
I'm kind of bilingual that way.
Yeah.
His next victim was Robert Sheldon, and he disappeared April 10th, 1985. Sheldon was an acquaintance of Bob's who needed a place to stay temporarily. Well, he asked the wrong motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not what this is like Motel 6. They leave the light on, and then they tie you up and sodomize you.
And then they hang you upside down and bleed you.
Bleed
you out.
So
the guy was like, and I got just, this made me think of this. It's a free association. He's a dastardly man. I got something from a dastardly man. I got Hitler's mustache trimmer. Devil. I bet you'd be interested in that.
So, sure, Berdella said the guy could stay at his house for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Sheldon got drunk, and Berdella had to keep him.
Okay.
He then drug him with sedatives and tranquilizers and bound and gagged him as he'd done with Hal. He then sodomized and tortured this poor man repeatedly for days.
I'm seeing a pattern here.
Well, yeah.
A sodomizer and a torturer.
On April 15th, so 5 days after he grabbed this guy, workmen arrived to do some roofing for Berdella.
Mm-hmm. And then
why would he not fucking know that the roofers were coming? I mean, you got to plan ahead for that shit.
Yeah, you reschedule.
If
you have a kidnapped victim that you're sodomizing, you reschedule that
shit. You do reschedule that shit. Seems, I don't know. It's just
I got one of Bill Cosby's cocktail glasses.
Pudding jars.
No, did he roofied people?
Yeah, right? I got it.
The roof thing made me think of that. Yeah. I got one of his cocktail glasses.
Okay.
Speaking of glasses, I got a pair of Helen Keller's glasses.
Readers.
Her readers. She didn't. Her eyesight wasn't.
They're barely used.
Yeah. Well, they still got the stickers on them. She didn't know.
Were they 300?
No, they just fucked with her and got the 1.25.
Brandy, please continue.
I don't know where I'm at now. Just hold on. All right. So the workmen come to do the roof. Mm-hmm. So Berdella had to suffocate Sheldon with a plastic bag so that the workmen wouldn't hear him.
Oh, poor bastard.
He then placed the body in the bathtub and made
incisions. Because he couldn't reschedule the roofing.
No. Well, you know, he could have had a leak. Yeah, and then that just ruins everything. Yeah, it's a pain in the ass. Yeah. So he put him in the bathtub and then made incisions to allow the blood to drain.
Again. So he drained him in the bathtub.
Drained him in the tub. Again, he dismembered and disposed of the body in the trash like he'd done with Hal. Oh, okay, except for this time, he kept the head and buried it in the backyard.
Well.
Like a dog.
Now, see, even I don't have a head in my collection.
Yeah. So he obviously does not think a lot of these garbage men. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I guess if you have it in a hefty bag, one of the white ones and one of the darker, in one of the black bags.
When it's, I mean, it seems like if the odor would smell, you would...
You know what, though? I'm thinking if you get it out fresh...
Maybe.
It or
maybe,
stink.
If you work on a garbage truck, you just don't notice smell after a while.
Probably. Yeah. You become just very, very immune. All right. So, Berdella's third victim was Mark Wallace. And this poor guy was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. He wasn't a drug abuser. He wasn't a hooker. He just helped Bob do some yard work.
Well, see, that's what when you prune some fucking trees on this man's
yard. This fucker's all about home improvement, though. He has been like my husband watching HGTV all the time. Well, I need this shit done now.
So he's pruning his lemon tree or whatever.
He's setting the azaleas, just doing his thing.
Okay, and then what happens?
And a storm. So a storm. Picture it.
Okay.
So a storm erupts.
Oh, that's
so
Kansas, too. It's sort of like Wizard of Oz. It's out in Kansas. There's a big storm.
And then the big house fell on your sister.
Yeah.
So the storm comes. Sudden storm.
Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, you're surrounded by munching.
Not yet. And Wallace...
I'm
trying to set something here.
I'm trying to give you music for it.
I don't need music for it. My voice is lyrical enough.
His sound effects does add to the atmosphere, making it like a sense of urgency.
Is he Mr. Sound Effects? Well, let me tell you something.
Okay, so there's a storm brewing. Sounds like he's snoring. There's a storm brewing.
Or hopefully choking. So, yeah. So the storm comes. You know what? Fucking storm comes up. Wallace went to go to Berdella's tool shed.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob said, no, don't do that. How you doing? Come on inside.
Come on in the house.
Why don't you come on in here? We'll get you some lemonade.
We'll get you some fresh clothes.
Oh,
we'll sodomize you. And
those clothes.
Hang you up and bleed you.
He didn't want him to get a chill.
Well, he's thoughtful that way.
He is. And that was the last time anybody saw him. Soon as he got in there, when he offered him some lemonade, he, drugged him.
Uh-huh.
Berdella tortured and sodomized Wallace for several hours until he died from asphyxiation.
Motherfucker.
The party's just getting started, and this guy has to go ahead and choke and die. So,
well, did he finish the yard work at least?
No, the storm came up.
Oh, so Berdella still has to cut his own grass.
Well, he doesn't have to pay him now, I guess. Well, you know what, though? If you put the body in the garden, that's when you get the good shit that comes up.
Yeah, but
it's good fertilizer.
Yeah, that's true.
So, what year? This is in the 60s?
90s.
This is in the 90s?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, there was the other thing you were telling me about the 60s. Forget it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I don't know. This poor guy... I mean, at least he didn't have to sit and be tortured, but, I mean, he died pretty quick. And Berdella...
Did he get sodomized?
Yeah, I mean, he sodomized
him. I mean, you kind of build that in. That's a given.
Okay.
If this is Berdella,
see, this time he only did it for a couple hours.
He's like to sodomize a bunny.
Well...
Keeps on going.
Yeah. And he's, Well, you can't bank on if you're
Sodom and gonorrhea.
Yes. If you take a drink from Berdella, he's gonna sodomize you one way or another.
He's gonna sodomize you. He's gonna hang you up. He's gonna hang you up upside down and bleed you.
Yeah. So.
Then he's gonna cut you up, put you out in the trash.
So. All right. So then the next guy was James.
What else you got in that store, Colonel
Ferris?
Huh?
Well, no, my script doesn't make any sense here.
I got. Remember Sonny Bono crashed into the tree?
Yeah.
Stan, I got his ski goggles. I got half a pair.
Were they prescription?
Well, it's hard to tell. They're all cracked up.
They're all foggy.
Mm-hmm. Mariah Carey.
Mm-hmm.
I got some of her used chewing gum.
Nice. Mm-hmm. What's next, Brandy? What happened next?
So Guy Ferris was an actual friend of Berdella's,
mm-hmm.
and his death was different from...
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Everybody else is because Bob had a motive for killing Ferris. So it wasn't just like spur of the moment he saw him, okay. Liked him,
whatever. What was his motive?
Prior to Ferris's torture and death, he and his wife had stayed as house guests to Berdella.
Okay.
Oh, well, this is fucked up. So while Bob was away, Ferris and his wife vandalized the house and stole his drug supply.
Motherfucker.
So they were dicks.
Yeah, they were dicks. They were a dick, Colonel. You have to say that. That's being a dick, Colonel.
That's a dick move.
You stole your drugs.
Well, because seriously, I mean, the guy gives him a place to stay. Now, yeah. Eventually he may have drugged him. But, you know, he gives you a place to stay.
Sodomized
him
and then yeah. bled him out.
Yeah. But he gives you a place to stay. Right. He ain't done nothing to you. And what happens?
Right.
So, maybe. This is why. So, anyway, on September...
It's karma. Karma's a bitch.
Karma is a bitch. On September 26, 1985, Berdella ran into Ferris at a gay club, where the married guy absolutely should be.
Yeah, he's a married guy, and he's at the gay club. Okay.
And invited him back to his house for a drug session. Okay. So, I, just out of curiosity, I don't know if this is your terminology, but I would be curious as... What's a drug session?
I think it meant to invite him back to the house to partake in illegal drugs.
Okay.
A drug session? What the fuck do you think a drug session is? You been to enough orgies and drug sessions to know?
A drug session sounds like, you know, I'm talking to my therapist, and my therapist is giving me, you know, Thorazine to talk to them. That's a session.
But you,
I've never heard, like, let's sit down and have a drug session,
you,
guys.
Would you start... taking the Thorazine that your psychiatrist gives you.
When I want to have a session.
That would probably be... Could you see a nice, sunny, zombied-out devil walking through here, foot-shuffling?
That would be pleasant to be around. Pleasant to be around.
Mm-hmm.
Continue, Brandy.
You might even smile once in a while.
Doubt it.
I might.
We clean the little drool off your chin and whatnot.
So... Anyway, okay, so whatever, drug sessions, stupid term. All right, so that would be
the end. They got high. They went back to his house.
No, I got that.
Okay.
I know what it is. It's just a term, a weird term.
All right, I'm sorry.
This would be the end of James Ferris's life. Berdella drugged him, bound him, tortured him, as he'd done with the others, until he died of asphyxiation. He, of course, dismembered the body and disposed of it as he had all the others.
Fucking garbage man. He's got to be getting pissed at this point.
I don't know.
This guy, he's got all this heavy shit that we have to carry every time we come here.
I know. It is kind of a dick move. I wonder if he gives him a good gift card at Christmas
time.
I hope he does. So, on June 17th, 1986...
I never gave, when I owned a house, trash men.
I know, but you funds. Should. I mean, that's a nice, they're not. Most of my you, trash, my trash guys
do
are
Do you
nice.
Give them a tip at Christmas?
No, but I need to.
Okay, so you're.
Nobody gives me a tip for shit.
Well, I think tips come from being nice to people and providing good service.
Colonel, what else is in your shop?
Motherfucker, I give exceptional customer service. And I am pleasant to most people, just not you guys.
Do you believe that? I don't. Even our listeners don't believe that shit.
I'm not pleasant to you people because you all just trying to kill me.
Continue, Randy.
All right. So, Big Bob meets a male prostitute that he'd known for a couple of years, so they didn't just meet, and invited him back to his house. The guy's name was Todd Stoops.
Okay.
He then drug and tortured him for weeks.
Well, when he
did he sodomizing?
It doesn't say that. It says drug.
I'm betting. I'm going to bet. I'm going out on a limb and saying
that he did sodomize.
There was sodomy involved. Yeah. Sure. So he fucks with this guy, and on July 7th, Stoop died from blood loss as a result of Stoops.
Stoop Dog. I wonder if they called him Stoop Dog.
I bet they did.
So he died of what? Blood loss.
Blood loss as a result of the torture.
Ooh, see?
So, again.
You got one of those fissures.
Oh, I hate
pumping
that.
Pumping too hard.
Ugh. You know, you do. You tend to die of blood loss when someone
sodomizes you for weeks.
Well, and then bleeds you.
Well, yeah.
Cut holes in you.
Well, so again.
You're upside down. You tend to die.
Yeah, that tends to be.
You tend to lose a lot of blood.
So, again, Berdella disposed of the body like he had all the others. And he went inactive for about a year. In June of 1987... Berdella would bail out of jail an old friend named Larry Pearson. Berdella invited Pearson to come live with him. There you go.
That's not a good move.
He then drugged and tortured him for 6 weeks, and during this time, Bob attempted to make him his love slave.
Did he sodomize him?
I would guess so if he's going to be a love slave, but here's my favorite part. So, he still got this guy. Now, he kidnapped him in June.
Right.
On August 5th of 1986, while torturing his victim.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's had him now for months.
Right.
Pearson bit off the top of Berdella's penis.
Oh, my God.
Oh, he was a dick nipper? There ain't not worse than a dick nipper.
You know, I think if you're being tortured at the
now,
time.
No, you know what? You want to bend me over and sodomize me for weeks? That's one thing. But you bite the nip of my dick off, that's not cool.
No, the victim bit off Berdella's
dick. Well, that's Colonel Justice, then.
Yeah. You should try paying the fucking attention before you comment.
Never mind. I approve in this instance of dick nipping.
Jesus.
Okay, right. So Berdella has
Berdella is dick now dick. Wounded.
Yes, he had the tip of his dick bit off.
I wonder if he had to save it in some milk.
I don't know.
So he sought treatment at a nearby hospital.
Like cereal.
How you explain that shit?
Well, I just woke up. I don't know.
I was cutting a bagel. It slipped. So
I told her not to use teeth.
Oof. So Berdella... No, he's not listening.
I know.
Because he's playing Candy Crush.
Mm-hmm.
Berdella was told that he'd have to stay in the hospital for a couple days. Before being admitted, though, he told doctors he had to go home and pick up part of his penis that become detached.
Well, see, that's when you get in a rush because you start to panic. You see blood coming out of
the
penis.
Yeah, you go running out the door without the tip of your dick.
Yeah, then you got to go back. Mm-hmm. Got to backtrack, and then you got to find the damn thing. So you got to go back. You got to find penis. You got to then go backtrack all the way back to the hospital. Yeah. It's embarrassing.
Help me.
I don't know.
Hey, take your time. Yeah, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Reach down, look down, pick up your penis, and then go proceed to the hospital. There's no sense running to the hospital without the tip of your penis.
And at this point, they can't reattach it.
Well, and if you got a dog or a cat or mice.
Well, the dog is going to snatch that penis.
Well, yeah, but wouldn't ants get on that shit, too?
Well, probably not. You know, it's like the 15-second rule. if it's okay.
I don't think it's like that. Let me tell you something. If it's in the floor, because my guess is, I mean, I'm sure
you've
been.
What do we know? Hold on.
You've been to an emergency room. That's like a 2-hour minimum wait time.
Do we know that the guy spit the tip out?
Yeah, we do not.
Well, he didn't because he went back and got the penis. So,
yeah, but maybe he had to get the guy to lift his tongue.
But yeah, but at this point, he's pissed at the guy.
He did
takes a lot of balls to be pissed at somebody that you've been sodomizing for 2 weeks.
Yeah, but by buying off your dick, it's a different story.
Right, that's crossing a line.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It's not appropriate.
Okay, no, so I mean, so Berdella tells him, I got to go home and get this part of my dick that got bit off.
Yeah.
Or fell off, or sliced off.
Can I hold my place don't give up my bed.
Yeah, I'll be right back.
Right.
So Berdella runs home, suffocates Pearson with a plastic bag, and disposes of his body in the customary way. So he cuts him up, bleeds him out, cuts him up,
right.
Sends him to the trash, which, by the way, has to take a little bit of time. How long are they going to hold his bed? Because then the motherfucker buries this guy's head in the backyard again.
Okay.
So, I mean, all of these things take some time.
Well, meanwhile, you're walking around with half a penis.
Meanwhile, you've got half a dick, and you've got the other half that's sitting there becoming leather.
Yeah.
Because it's not getting blood flow. So I don't know what the fuck he thought he was going to accomplish now. Here, he might as well have taken in a Slim Jim and been like, here, attach this.
It's kind of cool that the guy did that, though.
Well, he probably could have taken in a sliver, like chopped off the end of a hot dog.
Yeah.
Because that would have been a similar.
However, evidently penis, you can bite off the tip of your penis and for hours still be okay. Mm-hmm. That part of your penis can lay on the floor.
It grows back.
And for hours, does it regenerate?
It's like a worm. It regenerates itself.
So, but evidently it could be okay because they reattached the part of his pecker that got bit off.
I wonder if he couldn't find it if he would have cut off the other guys and said it was his.
A transplant?
Yeah.
It would have been Frankenpecker.
We already got a Frankenpecker.
All right.
John Bobbitt. All right. So, almost another year later, because he had to heal.
Right. Right. He's not doing a whole lot of sodomizing for at least 6 weeks.
Well, you know what?
No sodomy.
You can't jack up your stitches either, man. Yeah,
I wonder if he got to kind of dissolve themselves. He had to have them taken out.
I don't know, but, I would think that, one time you blow those stitches right off.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It'd be like when the space shuttle, how the little thing lifts away from the big space shuttle, the little...
Yeah.
That'd be like that, the tip of the penis just coming straight off again.
I think
that you'd be back at the doctor, I did it again,
Right. So, excuse me.
That's not sound appealing.
So after he healed up a little bit, it was another year, and Berdella found his final victim. On March 29th, 1988... He picked up male prostitute.
So he's healed.
Yeah, Chris Bryson.
Okay.
For 5 days,
male prostitute.
For 5 days, he kept him drugged, tortured, and sodomized him, and I bet he didn't compensate him accordingly.
I'm sure he did.
Eventually, while Berdella was at work, Bryson freed himself by burning through his ropes and jumping out of the second story of Berdella's Hyde Park home.
Good for him.
He fled the property butt naked.
Why didn't he just take the door? He was free.
Well, he might not. He didn't, whatever. You know what? My thought is, I'm getting the fuck out of this house.
There's a window I'm jumping out of.
Yeah.
I saw the first opening in here.
Yeah.
This guy's been sodomizing me with his sawed-off pecker.
Right. So...
You can do anything to get away from that. But now the worst than a sawed-off pecker.
You know what? I bet it's all crooked at the end, too. I bet it, turns left.
He had a leaner.
Yeah, well, sounds like it.
Yeah, and just leaner and gross. Okay, so Bryson jumps out the window. He's butt naked.
Mm-hmm.
He is, however, wearing a dog collar.
Oh, well.
Of course.
Well, so I assume that's
apropos.
Mm-hmm.
He's apropos.
And he is. So, fortunately, there was a meter man across the street. And the meter man
sodomized him.
Plus, that would suck.
This is your day.
That's
awful. The
meter
man took him to the basement, sodomized him.
Oh, poor guy. So the meter man called the authorities, and the police came. They searched Berdella's home. They found detailed torture logs. Massive amounts of Polaroids.
I bet the guy's OCD. He's got all those pictures and notes and things.
Massive amounts of Polaroids, torture weapons, and human skulls.
Now that's trouble when the police get there.
Yeah, because police might overlook a little pot,
A little acid.
Yeah, but they're not going to overlook human skulls.
I wonder if they I wonder if they planted it.
I don't know.
Set him up.
Well, the police start.
If I was a cop, I'd carry a human skull and cruise.
Plant a human skull on somebody.
Yeah. You never know.
Well, you.
Hey, lady, you bitching at me because I pulled you over for running a stop sign? Oh, it looks. It appeared to be a human skull in your glove compartment.
Perhaps we should talk about that a little more.
Exactly.
I think you just tossed in the back seat. Behind, unless it was a little dog or something.
Just saying, it'll come in handy. What happens next, Colonel?
Just picture Timmy in a police uniform. With a human skull behind his back.
Just saying,
on every stop.
I'm just saying. It'd keep people from being mouthy.
I guess it would.
Yeah.
But after a while, I think people would notice you always hauling people in for having human skulls.
Just saying. People, you know, cops plant, you know, accused of planting drugs and accused of planting guns.
They would never. A human skull, they would never expect that.
No, exactly.
So. Okay, well, police get suspicious.
So. Yeah, finding human skulls, I would imagine, raises a red flag.
So they interview some neighbors, and this leads to a search of the property around the house and some freshly dug places. Now, worst-case scenario seems to be unfolding for everybody here. On Easter weekend, they had their own little... On Easter weekend, it would prove to be difficult to locate someone who could operate and had access to earth-moving equipment. So they called Lammy, her future husband.
Brandy's future husband.
Told him they was going to have a big-ass Easter egg hunt in the backyard. And could he bring a backhoe? So as Bardella was currently being held by warrants previously issued stemming from Bryson's comments, time was on the side of the Kansas City Police Department. However, as is always the case, the media was alerted to the strange turn of events. Mm. And they started swarming the house on Charlotte Street, complicating the entire investigation. Excavation of the backyard began as hordes of reporters were on the site. Now, almost immediately, detectives spotted a human skull with hair and soft tissue still intact. Now, that may have been planted there by one of the detectives.
No, it was not.
Really?
No, it was not.
It still had hair on it?
Now, the work continued.
Yeah, that's when you know it's fresh. If they still have an afro on
it. It's skin.
Yeah. A beehive.
Yeah, if the hair gel still hasn't gone bad.
Yeah.
So work continued into the backyard into Monday. Strange items were found unrelated to any human death. Animal bones, jars with bird feathers, whatever.
Yeah, because he had all this weird shit in his house and his store.
Yeah. Now, this discovery led credence to the idea that perhaps Bardella was into Satanism.
Hmm.
And went to the Wednesday
Satan.
Night... Satanism. Satanism and went to the Wednesday night meetings with the devil over here. Or some kind of occult religion.
So he had some... chances are he had like a little... shrine to Brandy.
To Brandy.
Yeah.
Like as
incense and...
Little pentagram, candles everywhere. Yeah.
As he should.
Picture of Brandy.
Baby rabbit blood all over.
Yeah.
Really? Baby rabbit blood?
Every new discovery created more questions than answers. In the meantime, detectives continued to work inside the house, impeded by the clutter of piles of dog shit.
It does not say that. I wrote it. I know it doesn't say.
Doesn't say dog.
In the meantime, detectives also continued to work inside the house, impeded by the clutter and piles of dog feces.
Feces. There you go.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I understood what you were saying, Colonel.
Luminol. Now everybody knows what Luminol is.
The shit.
You spray it on,
and
you
can find Luminol in this office and see where they're fizzing.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that. Now, people began contacting the police.
I bet they found some blood where the guy bit off his penis.
Well, he had to explain that one. So, anyway, people began contacting the police department with concern for loved ones that were missing and known to have spent time with Bardella. Witnesses stepped forward to discuss their encounters with him. Some claimed to have seen Bardella injecting people with drugs, primarily
tranquilizers he used for his dogs. Others claim to be victims of these assaults. One man waddled up and... Well, no, I'll let that go.
Waddled up?
Well, because he couldn't walk right after he'd been sodomized for about 8 weeks.
He walked like a cowboy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, poor man didn't even make noise when he farted anymore. He
just whistled.
Now, Bob Bardella sat in the jail, waiting to see what... But for his own safety, he was put in the sick bay.
Oh.
Now, sexual abusers, particularly homosexuals, are often victims of violence at the hands of other prisoners. Observers claim that Bardella appeared remorseful and in denial, perhaps somewhat pensive and reflective. So he was sitting there.
He had some time to think.
Yeah, had some time to think about it. And the more he thought, he got a woody, and that made him no more remorseful again. So he refused to speak to anyone who might convey his side of the story, such as the media or police. His friends who visited him said that he wished to speak to a particular minister with whom he had developed a friendship. Not necessarily for religious counseling, but to have someone to confide in, to tell his whole mess to.
He's
He ignored the entire situation. As an individual accustomed to being in control, the experience was humiliating and irritating, much like being sodomized for several weeks at a time.
Yeah, he needed to file a complaint with someone.
Yeah, he felt he felt abused.
Strongly worded letters to somebody.
Because of his contacts in his business and years spent in Kansas City, Bardella had a lot of acquaintances, some of which were friends. But to all who knew him, it was difficult to believe such a monster lived within the man. But we all have monsters in us, don't we?
We all have demons.
We all have an evil side, don't we?
Inner demons.
Some of us are more apparent than others.
Yeah, some of us
wear their demons on their sleeves.
Some of us have a very transparent evil side. Some of us hide it a little bit better. Maybe you ought to learn to hide yours a little bit better, though.
Should I?
Now.
You know what I would not want to have is lopsided face syndrome.
Like Bell's palsy?
It would not be a good look.
Lopsided face syndrome.
Your face is lopsided.
What? What the hell does that mean? Like part of it's melting, or what does that even mean? I don't understand.
There is a disease.
It's called Bell's palsy.
And it's a lopsided face syndrome. And you can have a lopsided face.
What a lopsided face.
Lefty.
I'm just saying I wouldn't want to have that. I feel sorry for people who
Mom had it.
Really?
Yep, she had Bell's palsy. One side of her face looked like that guy from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Did she recover?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now
I feel sorry for anyone that's got that disease. That looks awful.
Now, this reaction from... See, people, our poor listeners, general listener, I know you don't know where I'm at in this because you've been interrupted on numerous occasions, and I'm going to try to bring you back up to this. Now, they dug up his backyard. They got him in a police station. He's pensive. He's separated from everybody else. He wants to talk to a minister. His friends can't believe all this is going on.
Mm-hmm.
But the police had no corpse as of yet. So they could not prove a murder.
Well, hell no. The garbage man has taken all of them away.
But the intangible evidence was overwhelming, leading detectives to realize a death, if not more than one, had occurred on his property. Still, it was most difficult to convince a judge to seriously consider murder charges when there was no corpse.
It's hard to do. It happens, though, doesn't it? There was a guy here.
It's called corpus delicti.
Yeah, there was a guy here locally that was convicted of murder, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When there wasn't a body.
Well, that guy. Yeah.
We do that story sometime. All right, continue, Kerr.
The skull and the vertebrae, located early in the excavation of the yard, were sent to the lab for positive identification. Now, as Bardella has so many odd artifacts in his store and house, it was difficult to determine what was authentic or what was not.
So he's a hoarder.
He was. Mm-hmm. Friends and family claim Bardella was an eccentric, which is why he would keep people inside.
It is odd behavior to kidnap, sodomize, and cut people up.
Yet very likable and responsible.
Huh.
He wasn't as well liked by the men. He was sodomizing for
no, they had a bone to pick with him.
they had a bone inside them. They wanted taken out. Now, his worst fault from the viewpoint of his friends was Bordello was condescending when dealing with women or people he considered less knowledgeable than himself.
So he was full of himself, basically.
Well, I mean, if he was of average intelligence, he would probably consider women less knowledgeable.
You know who else he didn't like? People with lopsided face syndrome.
He did not. Now, week into the investigation, here's where we're at, folks. The detectives knew they had to identify the people in the pictures, including the ones with no faces portrayed. Now, that's difficult. Mm-hmm. To identify people with no faces portrayed in pictures.
Yeah. Or people with lopsided faces.
Or like, if they would have had lopsided heads, it would have been much easier. So it was suggested by an outside source that detectives asked Bordello to assume the pose of the person taking the photographs.
I don't understand that. They had him posing. Yeah,
they had him posing.
I guess it was like to get inside his head or something to make it look now. But I don't think he had a lot of empathy for people, so I don't see how that would work.
So they put a plan into action to have these pictures taken. They'd send them to a professional for positive ID. Samples of his body hair were obtained, and Bordello was very embarrassed and humiliated by having to pose for these photos, yet cooperative for the most part. He did resist with more than one position he had to assume. One of those was positioning him to represent having anal sex with another when the detectives wanted to position his hand as if shoving something into someone's anus.
Yeah,
well versed and practiced that, but he did not want to do for the policeman.
I can't blame
him. He didn't want to do it for an audience.
Well, I can't blame him for not wanting to pose like that.
I wouldn't want to have. I'd be afraid to. Well, if I was the one doing the posing and with the
You're vulnerable when you're stuff. Posing like that. You're vulnerable.
You're just putting it out there.
You are. You're asking for it, basically.
You are just basically asking for it.
Yeah.
At his arraignment, Bordello shocked everyone by entering a plea of guilty to the charge of murder in the first degree.
He just said, fuck it.
I did it. Mm-hmm. So eventually he confessed to murder and torture of 6 young men between the years of 84 and 87. With an uncanny ability to recall detail, he told this frightening story as court reporter Ruth Emma Petro recorded each grisly event of the carnage in a court record. He enjoyed his moment in the spotlight while in the courtroom confessing because he was in total control of the stage. This confession was the only way detectives had a real case since the bodies of the victims were never located. Bordello claimed to have dismembered each body with various instruments, such as a chainsaw, knife. He even used a spork from Kentucky Fried Chicken.
No, yes. Not.
Sporks are versatile.
Yes, they are.
And underappreciated.
Bordello recounted how he placed the bodies in the bathtub and made precise incisions at the elbow, joints, and legs to allow the blood to drain from his dead victim. He then packaged them into trash bags and took them to the curb for the trash men to pick up. And he told a courtroom full of people, including loved ones of the victims, how he watched the bags being taken to the curb to ensure they were not disturbed. By confessing to the city prosecutor, Albert Reeder, Bordello was able to negotiate for his life. He was promised a death penalty would not be sought if he provided grisly details of his actions, and he did. Judge Vincent E. Baker found him guilty on 6 counts.
It was recommended
that Bordello go for a psychiatric evaluation, which placed him outside the general prison population and permitted any violence from other inmates.
Why are we concerned for that?
The real Bordello began to emerge in the ensuing psychiatric records. He appreciated control and considered himself important. He wanted his victims to be sex slaves. He claimed to never have killed them intentionally. It is theorized
that
murderers convinced themselves
it. I think when the guy bit off his dick, it was on purpose.
Oh, for sure.
He killed him on purpose.
But it's theorized that murderers convinced themselves the victim is less of a human being. The perception gives the killer an opportunity to justify his actions, at the very least, feel less culpable about such actions.
Yeah, so you're not really human, or you're worthless, so it doesn't matter if I kill you.
Bedella referred to his victims as play toys, much like Jeffrey Dahmer was. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Much like Brandy with her.
With her, yeah, little group of minions.
Good Lord.
In Bordella's case, the victims were young men with little or no education. Most of the victims made a living selling themselves and drugs. Now, obviously, they were beneath the social stature of a well-liked, successful businessman such as Bordella.
Owner of the Bob's Bazaar.
Bob's Bazaar. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
It was this mentality to lead Bordella to the grotesque acts of torture to which his victims were subjected.
Well, you're giving us quite the insight on Mr. Bordella.
Well, he would befriend them and deprive them of all emotion and sensations unless administered by him. Bordella beat his victims with various instruments and injected them with drugs and chemicals. He put chemicals into their body cavities. Mm. It has been said he even put window caulk in the ears of his victims.
Mm.
He sodomized them in a variety of ways. With his penis. With vegetables such as cucumbers and carrots. And some poor bastards he'd sodomize with his whole arm.
Mm.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, one of the guys' anus, that's how he died. His anus ruptured. When
perforated
he,
or whatever.
Yeah, when he had his arm up inside of
him. One victim died from a ruptured anal wall.
I read it somewhere.
After Bordella was elbow deep inside the man. In his confession, Bordella callously referred to this as a good fist fuck. Some victims, hey, for crying out loud. I mean, you know, you're going just a step. You get the cucumber. This is disturbing my sensibilities, Timmy.
He was a sick fucker. I guess.
Yeah. It,
you know, a good thing for this is Tommy Boomer Shine for recommending this story.
You got it. Tommy, you sick bastard. This is not a bad story. At least he wasn't doing it to little kids. But you got to wonder. Now, if you...
You gotta scrub that arm afterwards.
You're eating a sandwich with that arm later.
Yeah.
But here's my question that I've always wondered. And, you know, you see this from time to time to time in the pornographic sites that sometimes you stumble across on the internet.
While you're looking for religious guidance.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. You're looking... All it takes, Timmy, in that Google thing, is to get one letter wrong, and you're in a world of...
Next thing you know, you're in Fist City.
I can tell you, don't if you want to go play cornhole, don't look up cornhole.
I can tell you, if you want to buy a baseball bat, don't look up dicks.com.
No.
It's a sporting goods store, but it is dicksportinggoods.com.
Well, and cornhole is a game that we play out here that has nothing to do with anybody's butthole.
Yeah.
Well, that's a game we play as well.
Yeah, that one too.
Yeah, Colonel Finney. Bring us home, Colonel.
Unless people call us no buttsies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anyway.
So he's elbow deep in this guy's ass.
Now, some of these people, they died from asphyxiation because he would stick his arm too far up their ass, get it clogged in that laryngeal part.
Perforates her colon.
Well, others died from drug overdoses. Now, he believed he was a good, upstanding individual who I just watched the Bloodline thing. He believed he was a good person who just did bad things.
But, yeah, there we go.
Well, you know. It's a judgment call when you got your arm up someone's anus. I mean, it's, you know, some people frowned on it. In some societies, that's frowned upon.
But, well, here's what I never understood about that. In the men who do it to their girlfriends or wives or whatnot, don't you think you're going to need that thing a little bit later?
Well,
I mean, when you're cramming your fist and you're going in, like, you think, well, you ain't even going to be hitting the walls of that sumbitch later on.
Right.
What good are you?
Yeah.
I don't see it. But anyway, he believed he was a good
You're
person.
Sensitive like that, Colonel. You're sensitive to the needs of others.
No,
a lot of empathy.
I just don't like to see a good vagina ruined for no reason.
In this case, it was a guy's anus.
No, yeah, I don't really care about other guys' anuses. And, you know, luckily it was, these were all male prostitutes, so they were used to having things in their anuses before, just not a fist.
I just don't understand the whole attraction to having a never mind.
It doesn't matter.
It could have been. You know what? He might have been looking for the tip of his penis in there. Who knows? I mean, you can't, you know.
I don't know.
People like what they like. It's like you put on the page, the Ku Klux Klan guy that was having sex with a black male prostitute. People like what they like.
I wonder if he's like that guy on Chappelle.
Yeah.
The blind Ku Klux Klan guy that doesn't know he's black?
Yeah.
No.
Dude, that's hilarious.
Continue, Colonel.
So in an attempt to get back to the good graces of the public, Bardella opened a trust fund for his victims' families, administered by Reverend Roger Coleman, who stood with him throughout this entire ordeal. Some families of the victims sued Bardella for wrongful death but failed because of the inability to meet the statute of limitations for such crimes. Bardella was pretty smug in his remarks concerning lawsuits. He claimed that he did not understand why he was a serial killer or what in his life had contributed to that behavior. He took great offense and claimed people incompetent for thinking he himself understood it. He rejected emphatically the claim that he had any dealings with Satanism. Did you see him at the meetings? Was he at the meetings? Did you ever hear his name? Is he on the list? Go to your database in there, Devis. Tell us, Devin.
On your mailing list, are you sending Christmas cards?
Yeah.
Yes, I send him Christmas cards. The birth of Christ, I send him Christmas cards.
Well, I didn't know if the birth of Christ was like your Halloween.
The power of Christ compels me.
So anyway, Bardella only served 4 years of his time before he died of a massive heart attack at the age of 43.
He died young.
He died young. He got off easy. Prior to his death, Del Dunmire, then living in the suburbs of Kansas City, purchased all of Bardella's belongings.
Yeah, some rich dude. He bought the store. He bought the house.
He claimed to have no interest in items other than he felt he understood Bardella.
That's disturbing.
He later leveled the house and sold the property to surrounding neighbors. Now, understanding Bardella, I guess he, he would occasionally grab up somebody and bring them to the house and sodomize them for weeks and say, hey.
So, Colonel, what do you think about Robert Bardella? Your final thoughts.
I'm personally against non-consensual repeated sodomy, Timmy.
Okay. So you're okay with, as long as it's not repeated, you're okay with it one
consensual
time.
Repeated sodomy. He's okay with that.
Yeah. Or non-consensual repeat at one time. One time
because sometimes your aim's off or you slip. You know what I mean?
You might bump into someone repeatedly.
No, I mean, you know how it goes, devil. I mean, surely you've had somebody accidentally go north on you.
Sodomy, it's a funny word.
It is a funny word.
It's broad in its definition, right?
It's like the molest thing.
Yeah, yeah. It has a broad definition. Mm-hmm. It means different things to different people. Mm-hmm. What does sodomy mean to you, Brandy?
It means get out of my asshole. That's what it means.
Okay, but I've also seen it used.
Oral sex?
Oral sex.
Sodomy?
Yeah, I've seen it referred to.
You asked what it meant to me, that's what it means.
So to you, it's anal.
To you, it's just anal, not oral, because you could have been the queen of sodomy in high school.
No.
If it was just oral.
No. But as I've stated before, the dirty flower is off limits for all occasions.
But you wouldn't consider, would you consider if he forced these guys to go down on him, would you consider that sodomy?
See, I don't know what the law says. No, I
the
don't
law
think,
says it's
I
sodomy.
Don't consider
the
that
Bible
sodomy.
Says it's sodomy.
Oh, God. So I don't.
Let no man get elbowed, and I believe this is in Leviticus.
Let no man be elbow deep
in another man's backside.
Yeah, I think it is.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
Is it Leviticus 13:14?
It's Leviticus 68:69.
Pedro 36:17.
Juan Carlos.
It's in Dirty Sanchez. It's in Titus, actually. Where
Titus
says,
is a big book.
Let no hand.
It really is.
I believe it says, let no hand enter the dirty hole of another man.
Yeah.
For that hand shall forever be unclean.
Yeah.
And must be removed.
You're not kidding.
And smitey. Yeah.
You have to scrub that motherfucker.
Yeah, but do you ever really get it out from under your nails?
No.
Yeah. You got to get lava soap for
you
that.
You got to get something.
Colonel, any final thoughts on Robert Bardella?
He was just your run-of-the-mill, he was like Carl Pan's ram, I guess, because he, you know, it wasn't a hobo or anything. That would have been cool. I mean, if we could have entered a hobo element.
Brandy, do you have any final thoughts on Robert Berdella?
That's pretty nasty.
It's pretty nasty. And again, thank you, Tommy, for recommending this topic. Brandy, where can people find us?
You can find us on Facebook.
We have two pages. We have the History Dweebs page, and we have the History Dweebs group. You can join that group by checking out, just searching History Dweebs, the podcast. Boom. And then you'll get some of these inside little jokes that we tell that don't make any sense. It's probably because
they don't make any sense to people that follow on the page.
Probably not. You're probably right.
And here's another example where you get where you got to watch your Google
search. Good, Chuck's still talking.
Is
I was worried that
because
he
I don't have
what
I
else you got in that store,
really,
Colonel?
I don't really check my Twitter app on my phone.
You don't check your Twitter?
But occasionally I will check on my computer.
What do you mean you have Kim Taylor shoes?
I got Kim Taylor shoes. I got in my collection.
Okay.
It's in there. She hasn't noticed I'm missing yet because people in Kentucky don't wear shoes.
I see.
So, but one of these days she's going to probably have to go to church or wedding or whatever.
Someone will die.
And she's going to look for flip-flops and yeah, I'll have them.
You'll have them.
But,
they can find us on Twitter at History.
Here's the problem with Twitter, Timmy. You get one letter wrong on Twitter when you're typing it into your computer. You get a whole smorgasbord of things that the devil has conjured up.
Well, I know there's people that on there that are pretending to be you. I have to type in the real Colonel.
The real Colonel, yeah. And I, I accidentally typed in Twitter.
I see.
And, It was not the page I did not get really funny messages from people.
Okay, that's all for this week, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Bye, everyone.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.